everyone, and welcome to a special episode of the Touch Arcade podcast. I'm Eli, and tonight Arnold and I will be joined by Neil Young, CEO of NGMOCO, to discuss the sudden announcement of their recent purchase of Freeverse and their plans with Freeverse, as well as NGMOCO's recent shift to the free-to-play game model.
Okay, so obviously big news tonight with it came out that I guess NGMOCO is acquiring or has acquired Freeverse. And you've also secured $25 million in more funding.
Yes.
So I guess the big question, there's a lot of questions, I guess, surrounding all that. But I mean, so why Freeverse is sort of the first thing, and sort of what your thoughts on all that are.
Sure. We've known Ian and Colin really from the start of our entry into the iPhone space, and recall Freeverse were one of the first companies to adopt Plus in their games, and we just found them to be one wonderful people. Everyone there at Freeverse, wonderful people. And when you're trying to build a company, you want as many wonderful people a part of it as possible. Secondly, kind of when you think about how do you sort of not just build a company organically, but build a company from an acquisition perspective, you want to find people that, share your vision and share your values, have talented people, have great intellectual property, and have complementary product lines. And, if you kind of look at Freeverse, through that lens, you kind of go check, 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 check. And so, at the end of the day, that's why Freeverse, and we've, admired and respected them for a long time, and we're fortunate enough to be able to acquire the company.
Yeah, and do you see working? I mean, Freeverse is located geographically distant from you all, right? They're in New York.
Yep, in Brooklyn.
Brooklyn.
Beautiful Brooklyn.
Are they going to, maybe you haven't even planned it, but like, are they working, still going to be working remotely primarily, or are they actually transplanting?
Yeah, okay. I mean, Freeverse is going to, we're going to keep the Freeverse, brand. Ian and Colin are, going to be running Freeverse. We're going to, really just try to help those guys, accomplish, everything that they set their minds to, and we'll manage that studio, and I think probably to the outside world, it won't look entirely different. Certainly not initially.
Mm-hmm. So I think one of the big, from the consumer standpoint, one of the big talking points has been NGMOCO's recent switch from sort of the traditional sales model to this freemium model, where the games are downloaded for free and with a download, in-app purchase sort of component. And I guess what everyone's talking about is, how does that apply to Freeverse? And I guess there's been a lot of, negative comments on it as well, about some people not liking the freemium model. Can you talk much about that, why you switched, and sort of where Freeverse falls in that picture?
Yeah. I mean, the history of why we moved to the freemium model, that really spans back to the summer of 2009, which is when we made the decision to kind of move to that freemium model. And around that time, we acquired Neurophonic and went through our product portfolio and said to ourselves, which of the games in the portfolio can we actually move to free to play successfully, and what can't? And we sort of went through the process of saying, okay, well, these games are going to stay in the pipeline. These games are going to, get cut or delayed or retooled or what have you. And then we started the process of building a whole host of new products. The decision to move to freemium was really, where do we think the market is ultimately headed? And how do we build a company of consequence with that, with that insight? And the decision we made was to kind of focus on the freemium business and, I think Eliminate and Touch Pets, which were never initially intended to be free-to-play products, were good first outings. But, I think we'll all admit that the monetization models there are a little bit clumsy. But we've been able to, you know, learn an incredible amount. You know, those games, Touch Pets and Eliminate, have been installed, you know, over 9 million times and are played by hundreds of thousands of people, you know, every single day. And, you know, so, you know, on the one hand, you could say, you know, maybe people don't like the freemium model, but on the other hand, I mean, there's sort of existence proof that, you know, many hundreds of thousands of people do like that freemium model, and many millions of people, you know, have and continue to enjoy, you know, playing and installing those products. So, you know, we need to take the learning from those games and, you know, roll that learning into, you know, WeRule and Godfinger and future iterations of, you know, Touch Pets and Eliminate franchises and sort of move things forward. Now, with specific regards to Freeverse, you can really sort of think about Freeverse's, you know, products in kind of, you know, three categories. The first category is stuff that is in the marketplace today. And the stuff that's in the marketplace today, nothing's changing with that. You know, we're not going to, you know, take Flick Fishing and, you know, flip it to, you know, to free tomorrow. Second type of games that are in development, and you can really think of those as sort of falling into one of two categories. You know, games that absolutely would not be appropriate to be free to play. And then some games that are a little bit further out that might be appropriate to be free to play or have already been planned to be free to play. So that's the second category of things. And then the third category is stuff that is new stuff that Freeverse is starting developing. And, you know, when you think about the sort of the evolution to freemium, you're going to work through those three places. You're not going to change the things that are in the marketplace today. You're going to take the software that is currently under development and look at it very carefully to see if it makes sense to be under the freemium model or not. And then new things that are started from scratch, you know, we're going to try to start as many of those things as freemium games as possible. And, you know, that's the, you know, sort of the process that we've gone through with Ian and Colin. And, you know, as I think I just saw posted on the site, you know, there's no plans to change the monetization model for, you know, for Warp Gate,
right,
you know, or something like that, because when you know when we all look at that, it doesn't, you know, that was not built to be anything other than a premium game.
Mm-hmm. What's interesting is that you say that the freemium models on Eliminate and Touch Pets were a little clumsy, because I think one of the criticisms for the games from people who didn't like the games, and I didn't play much Touch Pets, but I actually played a lot of Eliminate Pro, was the sort of time-limited features of some of the time limits on some of the features, such hello. As... hello?
Hi, I'm here.
Oh, can you... Oh, I don't know did you hear what I was saying?
Yeah, I heard all that.
Okay, so what I was saying was that one of the big criticisms for those games was the time limits on the features, including the battery recharges and then the actual food stores for Touch Pets. I mean, was that what sort of you were talking about with the clumsiness? Or, I mean, because I noticed that the new games are not structured like that.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we've learned a lot about how to, you know, run and operate and design free-to-play games. And so I think some of those, you know, the power cells, I think, were, version 1.0. And, you know, as we do, you know, 2.0 and 3.0, we'll continue to take our learning and try to, you know, just try to build the very best game experiences possible. I mean, it's important to point out still that, you know, Eliminate and Touch Pets, you can play those games entirely for free,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you don't have to pay us a penny. And, you know, they are great pieces of software in that regard. You know, and I would challenge, you know, anybody to find, you know, a better piece of free software that really can be played for free on any other game console in the world. And, you know, I think we've got, you know, we're very proud of what we've been able to accomplish with those games. That being said, you know, every time you go do something, you learn things, and you take that learning and you put it back in. And you try to deliver the very best experiences at the end of, you know, at the end of the day. And we're going to continue to do that. We're going to continue to be fearless and, you know, trying to build games and trying new things, and we're going to continue to iterate, and we're going to continue to learn, because that's really the only way that you prosecute kind of markets like this that are just evolving and changing, you know, all the time.
I'm just curious, do you think that the freemium model has solved the piracy problems you guys were seeing before? Because I know that you guys have been quoted as having upwards of, 15 to 90% in initial piracy rates on games like Rolando and stuff. Was the move to freemium a reaction to that at all?
No, it was not a reaction. I've read those comments of people sort of interpreting what we're doing as a reaction to piracy. I mean, there's so many counterpoints to that, like, well, those people would never have bought software in the first place, and that wasn't the motivation. The motivation really for us is, is there a way that you can build a company of consequence, like a really, how can you build the next great game company from this moment? And in order to be able to do that, you need to, one, have a revenue model, but two, you need to be able to participate in the whole market. And if anything, for us, the driving factor was, really two things. One, on the free side, you were seeing download volumes that were 10 to 20 times what you were seeing on the paid side. Just, there was a huge portion of the audience that was not really participating in the paid side. And when they were participating in the paid side, by the way, they were participating at the 99 cent to $1.99 level. So, there was this huge, volume delta between these two things. And the second was just our sense of where the market was ultimately headed. What were the forces, were the forces moving towards higher priced pieces of software on individual downloads, or were they moving towards, the widest possible access to games that were operated sort of more as services and that were played over, over time. And, those were the forces that ultimately motivated us to, to go pursue this. And, we think the iPhone continues to be a tremendous device. It's got this, crazy blend of usability and capability that have been driving these new usage patterns, for players. And we think that there's lots of opportunity for people, to build businesses in this space. And ultimately, we decided that the best way to build the biggest business that could have the most impact, that would be the most progressive, and that would touch the most people, was to follow this model.
I've noticed that a lot of quote-unquote hardcore gamer types are feeling kind of disenfranchised with this move to more casual kind of free games. Do you guys see yourselves being able to do like a Twitch game like Dropship, or maybe bring Rolando back, or more edgy gamer type games?
Are you telling me that Eliminate is a casual game?
I'm just telling you what people are complaining about.
I mean, I think Eliminate is a hardcore game. It's a harder core game than frankly I would usually play personally. And I think we're going to be committed to kind of deliver things that, that players want, that, that we like to make. And, we're a company of gamers, and we're going to try to bring, the very best game experiences to as many people as, as many people as possible. I think that there's this, we make the delineation between kind of hardcore gamer and casual gamer, and you immediately conjure up an image of who those people are. And the reality is, for, more than 70% of all iPhone OS users, iPod Touch and iPhone users, more than 70% of those people, would classify themselves as a gamer. They play video games, they've grown up playing video games. It's as valid an entertainment format for them as like watching the television. And so we got to deliver games that speak to those people. And whether those games are games that are first-person shooters or strategy games or people simulators or God games or, social MMOs, we have to deliver games that speak to, the broadest audience possible and cater to the taste of those audiences.
Right. I mean, it makes sense. Regarding the future of NGMoco, are you able to discuss any, like, do you guys have your eyes on any other companies in the future? Are you good right now? I mean, how are you going to build what you've got? What's the plan?
Definitely looking forward to acquiring Electronic Arts and Gameloft.
I heard about that, and Apple, apparently.
Maybe not Apple. No, you know, we're going to, you know, just try to make the best games that we can possibly make, and you know, when it makes sense, you know, grow our company not just organically, but also through acquisitions, whether those are acquisitions of studios or acquisitions of, you know, intellectual property. I think you probably read in that TechCrunch article that we've acquired Charadium.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah.
And which is, I don't know if you played it, but it's a really, really good app. It's really well designed. It's really well built. And we think that that game actually will be tremendously successful on the free-to-play side. You know, so we're going through the process of moving that to a, you know, to a free game. So we'll look for those types of opportunities. And then lastly, you know, Plus has, you know, a big year ahead of it. You know, we've installed, you know, over 20 million, you know, copies of Plus enabled games from NGMoco and its partners. We're, you know, on track to have 100 Plus enabled applications by April. So we're sort of excited by that. But what we're really looking forward to is sort of the systems that we've sort of pioneered in the NGMoco games, you know, the sort of free-to-play framework is something that can help lots of developers build those types of games. And we're excited to kind of productize those things, put that into Plus, and then make Plus more broadly available to the development community so that, you know, we can get, you know, more applications that that take advantage of Plus's features.
Great. Well, yeah. I can't wait to see what happens in the future.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting.
Yeah. No, thanks for taking time. TetraCade started shortly before, you know, NGMoco did, I think. And, you know, so we've been, I know Blake talked to you early and interviewed you, and you're real enthusiastic about the platform. So it's good to, it's interesting to see how far things have progressed in the last, I don't know, year and a half, 2 years almost now? Getting towards 2 years.
Yeah, nearly. It'll be 2 years for us in July. June 26th, founded the company.
Yeah, so a lot has changed. It hasn't been that long.
I know. It's pretty exciting, but I'll tell you one thing that hasn't changed is, you know, the potential to, you know, build incredible things that people haven't seen before and, you know, and build a really cool, you know, cool industry and participate in that industry with a really cool company is, you know, it's still the same. And in fact, if anything, it's become more likely, right, as the iPhone has proliferated and the development community has got so vibrant and, you know, it's going to be pretty exciting.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's gotten a little crowded, but it still seems a great opportunity. And obviously there's been a lot of, small developers, anywhere from small developers to, you know, one man groups all the way up to, you know, obviously the Freeverses of the community and NGMoco's.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Okay.
It's a cool time.
Yep. Great. Okay. Thanks, Neil.
All right, guys.
As a follow-up to this interview, tomorrow we'll be speaking with Freeverse Vice President Colin Smith to hear what this recent acquisition means to Freeverse. Keep an eye out for that, and as always, thanks for listening.